Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss, and I am coming to you from First Confessional Lutheran Parish. We are located at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, and Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. The text for today is recorded in St. Luke chapter 2. Verse 49. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Mary had just said to Jesus, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And Peter replied, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Well, clearly, Mary and Jesus were not speaking of the same father. Mary was talking about Joseph, her husband. He wasn't actually Jesus' natural father, but he was Jesus' legal father. As we know, Mary was a virgin when Jesus was born. But Jesus was talking about another father, God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. His legal duty to his earthly mother and father was subordinate to his duty to his Father in heaven. But Jesus never denied his duty to Mary and Joseph. He was obedient to them. Jesus obeyed the fourth commandment, which says, "Honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." Mary never had reason to complain about how Jesus treated her. She knew her son well. She took to heart the promise given by the angel, the prophecy pronounced by Simeon, and everything else God told her about her divine child. That he would obey her and Joseph was a given. By the time he was 12 years old, she was quite accustomed to it. But in this particular instance, it is obvious that Mary is clueless. Now, from the 2020 vision that hindsight provides, we might think it is amazing that she could be so obtuse. Well, it's different when you are right there and confused by circumstances. But think about it. Where else would Jesus be but at the temple? Let's put this little exchange in context. The family had just visited Jerusalem for the celebration of the Passover. Now, the Passover was a very important feast of the Jews that commemorated how God had set his people free from slavery, miraculously led them across the Red Sea on dry land, and then later brought them into their own land. During the events that the Passover commemorated, the children of Israel were commanded to put the blood of a lamb on their doorposts to mark their homes so that when the angel of death came by to kill the firstborn of the Egyptians, he would see the blood and pass over the homes of God's people. So the symbolic meaning of the Passover is that when the Savior of the world came and shed his blood, all those who trusted in that holy sacrifice would escape the wages of their sin, which is death. Death comes to visit all sinners. He sees the blood of the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Wherever he sees this blood, death passes over and does not strike anyone down. This means that when your sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb of God, you are free from the slavery of sin, free from the fear of death, free from the guilt and the punishment that your sins brought upon you. This is the meaning of Passover. Now, after celebrating the rituals connected to this feast, the folks from Nazareth were on their way home, all except for one of them, of course. Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and he wasn't wandering the streets like a tourist, taking in the sights. No, he was in the temple. The temple is where God meets his people. Now, that's exactly where Mary should have looked in the first place. And she should have understood the prophecy that Simeon gave when he said to her, "A sword will pierce through your own soul also." But she didn't understand until later that the sword piercing her soul was to watch her innocent son die, because she would see the Passover fulfilled. She would watch the Lamb of God take away the sin of the world. Jesus is that Lamb of God. And she would watch as her son Jesus fulfilled the true meaning of the Old Testament rituals. What she would watch is precisely what Jesus was learning as he stayed in the temple, asking the teachers questions and answering the questions the teachers put to him. Jesus went to the temple to learn. He was a boy 12 years old, and he wanted to learn the Word of God. As he learned God's word, he learned about himself and what would be required of him. He was under the authority of his parents. He was under the authority of his Father in heaven. He remained obedient to both his parents and his heavenly Father. We know from the Word of God that Jesus Christ is true God and true man. He received his divine nature from his Father before time began. As we confess in the Nicene Creed, he was begotten of the Father before all worlds. He received his human nature from the Virgin Mary in time, as we confess in the same creed, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. Now, in the Gospel of St. Luke, we see here that Jesus grows in wisdom. But how can God grow in wisdom? Well, this is according to his human nature. As true God, of course, he knows all things. But in his humanity, he chose not to use all of the fullness of his divine power all of the time. For example, he didn't do a miracle until he was 30 years old. He deliberately chose not to know things that he, in his divinity, knew. After all, God is omniscient. But he humbled himself and became obedient. This is the only account of Jesus' life from the time when he was an infant until the time he was about 30 years old. That is, it is the only biblical account. The Holy Spirit saw fit to cause St. Luke to record this, and that makes it a part of the Bible. And where the Bible is silent, we really don't have any right to speculate about what Jesus might have spent his time doing. We only know what God has chosen to reveal to us in the pages of the Holy Scriptures. And from the Bible, we know that Jesus cared more about learning God's word than about doing whatever other things 12-year-old boys find interesting to do. As a matter of fact, Jesus exemplifies what a 12-year-old Christian boy or girl should value and do. If you learn to love God's word when you are young, you will be wealthy your whole life. If you learn to despise God's word, you learn to cut yourself off from the greatest joys God gives us in this life, and indeed, from eternal life. Consider Jesus. His parents didn't require that he be in the temple. They didn't even know he was there. No pastor had assigned him memory work that he needed to recite. He wasn't required to go. He went to the temple to learn God's word because that's what he wanted to do. Now, it's true that Jesus was a unique child. Born without sin, he did by nature what is good and right to do. He went to the temple to learn God's word. That was the good and right thing for him to do, and so he did it. But our children are not Jesus. No, they're born sinful, just like their parents. If they do what comes naturally to them, they will not seek out instruction in God's word. They'll oppose it and resist it and deny it. So how can we get our sinful children to be more like Jesus? How can we get them to seek out God's word? First of all, we bring them to God in holy baptism, where God washes away their sin and gives them a new nature. God regenerates them so that when they are born again, born from above, they have new desires to do and to be what God wants of them. They're still sinners, however, so they struggle, as we all do, within the contradiction. As Christians, they want to learn everything God wants to teach them. They love God's word. They want to drink it in. But as sinners, they don't want to listen to a word God says, so they struggle and we struggle with them. We bring them to church with us. We bring God's word to them in the home. The Bible doesn't say anything about Sunday schools or Wednesday schools or any other kind of church school for children. The biblical model is that the pastors teach the entire congregation and the parents teach their own children at home. The Sunday school is a modern invention. Teaching God's word to our children is our privilege as parents. Now, most parents feel ill-equipped to do it. People think the education of children is something that only those who are professionally trained can do. But the Word of God teaches us differently. As we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, you shall teach them diligently to your children." How do we do that? We teach them to memorize the catechism. Every child should know the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, and the Lord's Prayer, and what they mean. We remind our children that they are baptized, and that means they belong to the Holy Trinity. As we teach our children the stories of the Bible, they learn who they are. Jesus learned who he was and what he would do to save sinners as the Passover lamb. And our children find their identity as Christians through learning the Bible. Their identity is bound to Christ. They're Christians. Now think of all the junk coming at them from television. Just turn on MTV sometime and watch long enough to see how polluted the popular culture has become, and you know that conforming to the popular culture will only lead our children away from Christ. But as they learn God's word and take it to heart, they'll find what their Lord Jesus found. They'll find the Passover lamb. For Jesus, it placed upon him an obligation to go to the cross and die. For us and for our children, it gives us the promise of the forgiveness of sins that Jesus won at the cross. And we sorely need it. We haven't been the parents God called us to be. We haven't been the children God called us to be. We've neglected God's word. We've sinned against our Father in heaven, and we know it. But we also know Christ, who bore our sins, and who by his blood blotted out the handwriting that stood against us. He forced the angel of death to sheathe his sword and pass over us. In place of the fear of death, we have the promise of everlasting life. And that promise is for us and for our children. Amen. And we thank you for being with us this morning on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast, which is brought to you by members of First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, and Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. We have divine service at First American in Mayville Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, Grace in Crookston Sunday morning at 10:30, and at First Evanger in Fertile at noon every Sunday. We'd love to have you visit one of the congregations of our parish. You can also read and listen to these sermons on christforus.org. Go to the World Wide Web, christforus.org, click on a sermon or a paper, and if you'd like to communicate with us, just click on my name, Pastor Rolf Preuss, and let us know what you think of the broadcast. Please tune in next Sunday morning, the same time, the same station, for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.